You're listening to the Study Clicks podcast, your number one source for junior cycle and leaving cert tips. We make exams easier. Welcome back to another episode of the Study Clicks podcast. I'm Andy.
And I'm Erin.
And today we are going to be sharing some tips for leaving cert Irish, dun, 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 the most treacherous of leaving cert subjects, although it's, you know, our beautiful language.
Indeed.
And something we all should be better at. But today we're going to tell you how to be better at it, aren't we, Erin?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, Erin actually got a H1. I got a H something. I did great. Actually did. I don't know why I'm acting like I did terribly.
But it wasn't an H1.
I was actually kicked out of my exam midway through for cheating. I was making a TikTok.
Don't be like him. Don't listen to a word he says. Jokes.
Yeah. So basically, we're going to kind of approach this at looking at, like, what is the best way to study Irish? Because I found it hard when I was in leaving cert to actually know what to be studying some of the time. Obviously, there's a lot of practical and theory and stuff you need to learn for, like, SRAP pictures and ASHTAs. Some people try to learn off essays and things. So there's all those, that kind of route of going down it. But in general, how do you improve your overall standard and level of in a language is kind of is this tough thing to get your head around. So I guess today we're going to kind of be touching on that and touching on the exam and where kind of your marks go and stuff and where you can put your time and effort in. But I guess if you were starting at the start of sixth year, I mean, we might have fifth years listening to this as well, but let's pretend you're in sixth year and you've done a year already. And we're now, what, like a month and a half into the new school year.
The dreaded year.
Time flies. Yeah. As Erin is a H1 student, well, I'm also going to tell you about my own experience, but what would you, obviously the first thing that comes first is the oral.
Mm-hmm.
40% of the grade, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is a huge number. It's the
biggest singular part of, like, the exam that you're going to do throughout the year. Like, there's more to be acquired in the oral than in any of the two papers.
Mm-hmm. So would you, because I guess maybe that's something people think about, because I kind of left the oral, I didn't think about the oral really until maybe after Christmas. I mean, obviously, it depends on your school and the way your teacher works, but we started on SRAP pictures and stuff in fifth year and learning those, but I guess for the actual co-roll and all that, I wasn't doing too much work on that until after Christmas. Is that something that you would have looked at before Christmas or sort of worked or chipped away at that in the background, or were you looking at more kind of the papers before? Where did you kind of start studying?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's a really good idea to familiarize yourself with what the breakdown of the marks in the oral itself. So the oral altogether is worth 240 marks. And the biggest part of your oral is the co-raw. So actually, yeah, I would definitely work on building that. I think it's something as well that if you start working on kind of, you know, if it's one of the earliest things that you kind of prioritize and then just build on it gradually throughout the year, it'll actually stand to you more than if you try and, like, learn loads of sharp pictures off by heart at, like, the end of fifth year or something. Because if you can kind of get yourself to a point that talking about those topics is more natural for you, you know, that's going to benefit you in the exam. Like, there's no point. I mean, I know people for the core all, like, learn off these big spiels of information about their school or whatever the case may be, and, like, that's grand. Mm-hmm. And once the Irish is correct, you know, more power to you, like, whatever works for you. But if you can have it in such a way that you can just kind of bounce conversation back and forth between yourself and the examiner and have it as natural as possible while also feeling confident in your own Irish, like, you will feel so much better about it and you will end up doing better in the long run. So I would definitely say, you know, as soon as you can, like, start practicing speaking Irish. I mean, like, you know, whether it's to your friends, to your family, or, like, mm-hmm. even to yourself, just kind of, like, talk in a way, you know, when you're doing something, like, even record yourself talking. I find that's something that used to help me a lot. Like, I just kind of, like, start a voice note and then, like, I don't know, like, just talk for as long as I could about a certain topic and see mm-hmm. how much I could get out. And then I'd listen back to it. And if there was any sort of, I don't know, grammar mistakes or anything that I picked up, I'd work on correcting that then. Or, I mean, you could even, you know, or organize things like that with your teacher. Like, if you wanted, I don't know, send in things to them to correct, or organizing mock orals. I know a lot of teachers do that anyway, from kind of early sixth year, even, like, late fifth year. Like, I know myself, I had to do like a mock oral for my fifth year, end year exams. So, you know, it completely depends on your teacher and what way, you know, things work like that. But for yourself, yeah, I definitely think the Cora is one of the things I'd be prioritizing earliest in the year, to be honest.
Okay.
Obviously, with things like the Shroud Pictor, I would start practicing those as soon as possible too. But I also think, with any part of the Irish exam, to be honest, it's a bit of a risk trying to learn off so many things off by heart, because I know loads of people do that. And to be honest, I'm not going to lie and act like I didn't do it myself. You know, it's handy enough to just have like a spiel learned off for a certain topic or whatever, and then like be able to recite that when the time comes. But I think, like, I mean, if you can have your verbs right, your keywords right, and can just kind of build conversation around what's happening in each picture, that will stand to you a lot more. And I feel like as well, when I was in sixth year, I only had to do the 10 Shroud Pictors, whereas now it's gone back up to 20. And so I think if you have so many different like stories to learn off, you know, and just then just to be asked one in the actual exam, I really don't think it's worth your time. I don't think it's worth your time learning off so many like different like spiels for each one. I think, you know, you only have to do one of them if you want. I know there's a lot of them that are kind of similar, like there's a good few that are kind of about like sports or like going to the doctor or like some trip or whatever. Like there's a lot of things that kind of overlap. There's a lot of similar vocab and similar phrases that you can have in each one. So I think just build up a bank of like keywords, good phrases, and just practice them and again get them as natural as possible. And I mean, if you can start doing that earlier in the year, great. But I would say, yeah, I think you know, you have to be smart with how you approach it, because like, I mean, there's so many subjects I think outside of Irish where, you know, you do just have to learn off loads of information. You don't really have a choice. Like, I mean, the likes of like sciences or, you know,
history and
History, like you have to learn, you have to learn those facts. You have to spend time going over those things and getting them into your head.
Yeah.
There's no point. I mean, I don't think anyway, there's no point like filling your head with like these massive, you know, really long paragraphs when you can actually make your life easier if you just practice and kind of get into a better groove with it and feel more confident yourself. Because if you like, you know, for things like the Shroud Pictors and stuff, and like even the Cora, you don't have to be coming out with this like really high level of Irish. Like it doesn't have to be like to a really high standard. It doesn't have to be complicated. You know, you're having a conversation with the examiner, especially for the Cora. Like you're literally just chatting away. It's like if I went to you and said, Andy, you know, tell me about your pastimes, you're not going to be like, well, as a matter of fact, I love to, like, you know, it's not going to be really like fancy language. I mean, and if you could throw things like that in, brilliant. Like if you can show off, you know, I know how to say this in Irish, I can impress you with, you know, throwing in these phrases or whatever. I mean, great. But like the main thing is just that you can have a comfortable conversation with another Irish speaker. So that's honestly the main thing. And I think, like, you know, it's 120 marks altogether. That's half of your oral. That's 20% of your entire grade in the subject. So I think it's definitely one of the most important things to start kind of building from day one.
Yeah, that's huge, really. And I guess a lot of it, as you say, if you're working on that co-roll, working away of it before Christmas and the whole time, a lot of it does, like, so much crosses over. Everything crosses over in Irish. So if you're working on those phrases and stuff, and if your general level of Irish in your tenses and your verbs and all that is good, that's going to help you in your essay and your life history and all these different things.
And so many as well of the, I know people get a bit scared at like the prospect of being asked like kind of more current affairs topics in their oral. Like people prepare things like for I don't know, like climate change or like what else, like, I mean,
politics,
like,
and stuff.
Politics, things like that. And like, you know, that's obviously daunting. And I mean, the likelihood of being asked something like that, like, it depends on the examiner, but like, honestly, like, they are just trying to have a normal conversation most of the time. So I wouldn't stress like that too much. First of all, like, you don't have to answer any given question. Like, if you can tell the examiner, like, sorry, I'm just not very educated about this topic, I'd rather talk about something else, or like redirect the conversation yourself. You know, you have the power to do that. You can control it. Like, if you said to me, Andy, like, oh, what do you think about like the current state of the economy in the country, like, I probably couldn't just recite a load of facts at you right now. Like, and that's okay. You're not going to be like, how dare you not answer my question? Like,
Doc Marks,
you can just you can just redirect it, and that's so fine.
Mm-hmm.
But also, well, if it is
a skill in
case,
itself, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But like, you need to remember, like, you have the control there. You can go whatever way you want with it, and that's completely okay. The examiner is not going to penalize you for that. But if it is a case that you do have topics like that prepared and you do have notes to go off, that can all be rehashed again in your ASHTA. If there's a question comes up about like, I don't know, like problems in the world, like there's like a lot of really kind of vague ones like that that come up. You can talk about the exact same things you talked about in your oral. Like, it's the exact same content. You know, once you are familiar with the terminology and things like that, that can all be repurposed. So, you know, nothing that you learn really in Irish is kind of standalone. Like, a lot of it can be applied if you go about it in a way that is, you know, like, sustainable is probably the wrong word, but in a way that's like useful and kind of making the most out of your study. Yeah. Like, that will all stand to you, and you can use all of it again. And like, even things like the Leifhishgen, like the same sort of words can pop up again and again that, you know, if you get them into your head and you're familiar with them, like, that will stand to you. So I think it's definitely just a matter of like becoming comfortable with the language and also familiarizing yourself with key terms and things like that, just so for the sake of understanding more than anything. Because like, if you can pick up on the fact that an examiner wants you to talk about a certain thing, you know, like, that's kind of as much as you need really at the end of the day.
Yeah And that CoRAW is basically worth more than the ASHTA, so why wouldn't you start working on that, I guess? And these are things that, like, again, we're here to tell you, because I think when I was in Leaving Cert, I didn't quite know. I wouldn't have been too bothered about looking at the breakdown of the exams and where your marks are going and stuff. But if I looked at that properly and I'd realized that the actual CoRAW was worth more than my ASHTA, I would have started working on that just as early straight away. Because then, as we're saying, all these things cross over. And if you feel like, okay, I'm just going to study on the oral, it's never like all of that's improving your general level of Irish. So, I mean, it's get
so
going on it straight away.
And I mean, you have so much going on in Leaving Cert. Like, you're just focused on studying and like getting as much learned as you can.
Day to day,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. But like, it's when you actually like take a step back and break down what you have to do and what... It's such a part of studying in itself, like familiarizing yourself with the layout of the exam. And it's such a useful tool to know exactly what is required of you. I also think it's really worth noting that, like you were saying, a lot of people are focused with just like getting material covered and things. So for Irish, they'll just think, oh, like, I need to learn off about the poems and the stories and things like that. Fun fact, the poetry that you have to do in the exam, in the oral exam, which is just reciting a poem, like, you can literally bring in your own version of it and read it off and like have any sort of like phonetics written out or like help, like tips to help you for the exam. You can literally bring that in with you yourself, practice it as much as you want, just read it out for the examiner. That's worth 35 marks, whereas the poetry question in paper two is only worth 30 marks. And people spend so long studying for that and writing out different answers and everything, and like, great, but you can pick up more marks if you just practice reading out the poem over and over again. And I feel like that's something so many people don't realize, like, the marks aren't worth less than the oral or anything. Like, this is literally like it's the same value. Like, it's 35 marks versus 30 marks. So if you just put time into that question, and, you know, I think it's just something so many people aren't aware of, is how much of an emphasis there is actually placed on the oral and how much it can help you through the exam.
Yeah, that's crazy. For the amount of writing you do, I remember studying loads for that filial question and worrying about it so much. And I think for that, reading that poem, I might have read it like literally three times. And we were saying, because that's a tough one to kind of study for and prepare for, I guess. Well, I mean, you can read it as many times as you want, but you really need that feedback. And maybe depending on your teacher, you might not get the opportunity to do that. But we were kind of talking about it earlier, something of recording yourself reading it, or there's lots of people on YouTube and on study clicks of reading these poems, and like, that you can find how these things are pronounced, or read it yourself, send it into your teacher, say, what am I doing wrong here? Where can I pick up a few extra marks? Because this is literally worth more than, as you said, the written question. So these are all things that are worthwhile.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so handy to just, I mean, even if you're, I don't know, on a walk or something, like, you can just be listening to them over and over again. Like, it's like, I don't know, learning a song or something. Like, it's just practicing it, getting the kind of, you know, little details of it right, like the little things that you might be tripping up on. And then once you just recite it, like, alongside, there is recordings on the Study Clicks YouTube channel, if I'm not mistaken, of people just reading through the poems.
Mm-hmm.
Like, practice with those, and you'll like get so used to it in no time. And that's an easy 35 marks you can have secured by like 2 minutes into your oral.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess the kind of message there is don't neglect the oral till after Christmas, like someone in this podcast did, and probably lost marks in it. But get on that straight away. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's it. I suppose identifying that is that the marks that are there and are there to be taken easily and get going on that as soon as possible. If you've listened to this, well done. And you realize that now you're ahead of the posse. So congratulations. Wasn't a waste of your time. Your friends were making fun of you to listening to the Study Clicks podcast, but here you are ahead of the game.
Exactly.
yeah. We guess we're touching on the written exam. We've talked about learning things off and your kind of opinion on that. And I would have been someone as well who learned a lot of things off. And for the ASHTA, I learned like two essays. I think I learned one on 5 minute Adini Yoga and then one on something to do with the state of the Irish language and kind of hoped that one of them would come up. And luckily it did. And I was able to I'm quite a good at remembering things. So I was able to rattle it off and like it didn't actually take me too much time to learn it. But yeah, what's your kind of opinion? I mean, you've touched on it there, but I guess going into it more for the essay and then having a look at paper two, just Leif Hishkinson's stuff, because I know a lot of the time it's actually easier to get marks on that as well than you think. And there are little tips and tricks of kind of even just underlining things or taking things straight out of the text and not having to reword things. People try and get too fancy with that sometimes. Yeah. What are your kind of tips for the written exams?
The essay is worth 100 marks altogether. So that's like roughly 16% of your total grade. And I think that, like you said, a lot of people are accustomed to just learning off, you know, an entire essay and hoping that it comes up. That's probably not the safest option. Like, I mean, you could get lucky, and I know there's predictions each year, and there's, you know, certain things you can kind of, like you were saying, like things like Fibonacci and Ninoga, like that kind of thing comes up like pretty much every year. There's some sort of question, like, you know, problems in the world, like a lot of the time. Now, this isn't me saying like, don't, like, you know, get you can just learn that and you'll be fine. No, but it's fair enough to assume that like, if you learn off certain things or like certain things that maybe come up last year, if you don't look at those, like, yeah, fair enough. You can kind of predict things a little bit, but I think it's so much better to, there's so many phrases with the essay that can be sort of generic that you can learn off that would fit like pretty much everything. I think, again, it's most important to focus on like your key terms, your, like, I think, rather than learning off an essay itself, what I like to do when it came to writing essays was to learn off plans for essays or like bullet points that I would want to talk about in each paragraph. Because I think you know, and that's obviously something that comes with like improving every sort of aspect of your Irish. Like, of course, if you aren't super confident, you're going to want to learn it all off so you can, you know, maximize your chances of doing better. But I think like it's just a lot less of a workload on yourself if you're able to just come up with a plan and then expand on that. So what I would recommend doing is having a bank of like different like phrases. So things like Nahina Kainte, Shanakal, that you can put in where it makes sense to. So like I would match different Shanakal to different like topics. So let me think, for example, like, I mean, if you're doing one like Dini Oga, for example, you can have things like Mullanoiga August Chukishi, or like there's another one as well. You can kind of match certain phrases to certain topics that, or like certain ones that like would apply to pretty much everything, and then just have them to throw in to be like, yes, I know this cool phrase. But then also I think it's important to be aware of your format. So you do actually get marks in your essay for the style of how you kind of format it. So what I would recommend doing is having like a strong opening. So, you know, open it with like some phrase that's going to like catch your examiner's attention, being like, oh, like, you know, there's so much talk in the news about this topic, and like, you know, just something kind of fancy like that to draw you in. Just have a paragraph. And I love to end it with like a question as well. So be like, but how is this, I don't know, like just make it like, make it interesting. Like there's no point just like rattling off loads of information. And then you have like, keep like one point per paragraph. So have like your first point and then a second point. And I like, you know, usually like around three or whatever, like depending on what the topic may be. Then I really liked when I did my essays to have like a sort of a solution paragraph. Like obviously this would depend on what the topic was, but as in if we were talking about something like, I don't know, the cost of living, like, and it can be so basic, but I just really liked it because it was such a good excuse to just throw in the muck and you look with the conditional tense, which, you know, would it really boost your language grade. So I would literally have something like, you know, is there any way we can solve this problem? If I was a TD in the government, I would do X, Y, and Z. And like, that can be kind of learned off for like pretty much everything. Like, I mean, you can just say something like, oh, I would put more supports in place for whatever. And like, it just shows that you have that command of the language, and then have a strong ending as well, a conclusion. So yeah, I think like being aware of your sort of format, and there's, like I said, phrases that you can have learned off, like in your, you know, to have in your back pocket that would fit like pretty much every essay once you lay it out in this way. It's really important that you have, that you're showing off in this essay. Like, this is your chance to show off, I have a good standard of Irish, you know, even if you like don't and you're not comfortable your language at all. Like, there's like, I think it's 15 marks out of the 100 that are just designated for your standard of Irish. So if you can, you know, practice your tenses, throw in phrases that like make your Irish seem like it's of a very high standard, all of that is going to make you do better in the long run. But I think the majority, or the main thing, is just to practice. Like I said, it's the same with the core, like just practice and getting used to using your Irish in that sense, like in a more general sort of way. And then like, you'll build up that like comfort with it to be able to, like I said, just kind of, you know, be able to do out a plan and then like just write. You know, there's such a format to doing the essays that if you keep practicing them, you'll feel a lot better about when you do actually have to write one in the exam.
Absolutely. And it's a hard thing to practice for, isn't it? Is it something that I'm trying to think about my own experience. Did I sit down and actually write essays? Like, was that something you would do?
Yeah, I mean, like, I know my teacher would assign us a lot of them. So, like, for homework or whatever. Okay. So, like, I just kind of do a lot of
them.
That's
true. Yeah, I had that as well, actually.
Myself. Yeah. Or, like, you know, like, there's, like, I think 5 essay topics that come up each year. So, like, we'd be assigned a paper and, you know, he'd be like, okay, pick one of these and write one and then correct them and give us feedback on that. But that was really good practice because if you don't, and also, like, the good thing about the essays is you can afford to take your time with them.
Mm-hmm.
You have, I want to say, you have over an hour to write the essay itself. So it's not like English where you're trying to whip out like a 5-page essay in like 10 minutes. So you can afford to take your time with it and make sure that like your grammar and everything is correct, and like make a good solid plan, because, you know, once you have things that you can follow, you're not going to be like, okay, what do I talk about next? Like, you'd actually be surprised with how much a plan can help you when you're writing it. But yeah, I think definitely if you just get into the habit of practicing writing them out, or at least practicing how you would plan an essay out, like, you will have so many more options come the actual exam time. And, you know, I think a lot of the time as well, people tend to panic when they see questions come up on the paper, like if they aren't phrased in the exact way that they
have thought.
That's it,
yeah, that's a big one. I think a lot of people, because I remember I was thinking, or I'd get scared. That was something that for a lot of the different questions, especially in the poetry or the Leif Hishkind, like, I wouldn't understand what it was asking me. And that was like, how do you kind of get around that? I suppose it's looking for keywords and looking at the way they've been phrased in the past and finding just kind of ways that they've phrased it, so you kind of understand to an extent what you're being asked. Because it's a horrible thing to think you're being asked something and answer a whole question on it and then find out a few months later that you actually weren't at.
And that happens so often. But like, just understanding the question is honestly half the battle. So I did my Leaving Cert in 2024, and the questions that come up were the power of social media, which a lot of people learn things like technology or like, you know, the media. And I mean, you'd kind of identify that from just knowing Socialte, but, you know, like, things can be phrased kind of differently to how you might expect. And then the next one was, and we'll seal my gachtina is sucky and lay in you, which is, does everybody in today's society have a good life, which is so open. Like, you can literally talk about whatever you want with that. Then you had Erag's Corsi Idrinashinta, which is Ireland and international affairs, which again, I mean, like, depending on what you had learned off, there's so many ways you can go with that. Then there is the pleasure and heartbreak that comes with sport, and then life in the countryside, how it is and how it will be. So you have, I mean, the first three there anyway.
Right. The first three. Those two.
Yeah, I mean, if you're into sport, like, great.
The sport, actually, but, you could, but the countryside's a bit of a weird one.
A little bit, but the first three, like, pretty open questions. And I think, like, you know, like the thing about like, does everyone in today's society have a good life? You might get really thrown off if you see a question like that, because it's literally just like the problems of people in today's society, which you might have something learned off, like problems of young people, which you could like I don't know what you talk about in that essay. Like, I mean, like the cost of living, like education, like I don't know, like loads of different things. You can bring all of that into a question that's like sort of more open like that. So if you just like don't panic is the thing that I would say most of all when you open your paper, because you're more than likely more than capable of writing like multiple of the essay titles, and you just might throw yourself off because it's not worded exactly how you might expect.
Yeah. Yeah, it can very much. You need to just kind of take a second and breathe and go, okay, this isn't what I thought it would look like, but what words do I understand here? And then slowly you can actually kind of paint a picture for yourself instead of just going, oh my goodness, that's not what I was expecting to see. Because it can be pretty scary. Ashta, very interesting. What kind of, you're talking about phrases, and phrases were a huge thing for me. I remember I got like, because I used to use A4 refill pads all the time for my study, me ripping pages out and putting them in different plastic pocket folders and stuff, but I remember I had like at least two, or like a double sided that was like full of just these phrases and their translation. And I remember I used, there was obviously some ones which were, I picked out and enjoyed more or could remember more easily, but like what were big ones for you? Like I had ones like that I could use in my co-raw and in my essays, like Cunabeth Maconta and or Dort Mehiana or Ganaris or Bih and all these different things. Is that if you could give like 3 or 5 of your favorite ones, so someone, if they were listening and wanted to actively like write that down, or like ones that you just think can be used in loads of different contexts, like what are your favorites? Is that a question to ask you on the spot? You're an Irish connoisseur.
No, I know. Let me see. A good sort of shanakal, I guess, to add in is I like to put this at the end of all my essays. Is there's two versions of it. So Niosi and I'm sure, or Ismahan Shgeli and I'm sure, which basically just means time will tell. So it's basically just a way to like, if you're like, you know, are things going to actually improve? Time will tell. And that just kind of is a good way to round off what you're saying, because, you know, you don't actually have to, like, obviously you're not going to come to that conclusion. It's not your problem, but yeah, and then what else? I think more general things. I mean, like, there's so many like little like turns of phrases, like you said, like nahana kainte, that you can put in. I think it's nice to have like a good sort of line that you can put in at the start. So I'm like trying to think. Ni hain la heart salata on you on nach ni interplay air x sinuacht, or like sne, I don't know, snamian. So which basically means like not a day goes by that whatever topic isn't discussed in like the news or the media, which can be applied to like a lot of things across the board. I love to throw that one in at the start of my essays. And then like things like to like really kind of affirm your points. So things like Ernoi or like Ganaris, which like, of course, like, you know, without a doubt. Just to kind of make what you're saying seem a little bit more credible. But like there's so many things.
They're interesting ways. It's just, if you're starting everything with ta or vi, or just like the same kind of verbs and stuff, if you just even start a sentence like with Marador Mayhana or Cunabeth Maconda about something, it just instantly, if someone's reading like 40 essays in a row and that just suddenly comes out, like, oh, that's just a nice bit of Irish, or I can give them a little mark for that or something, instead of, it's just being smart about those things. And then in the same, you can use those all the time in the co-raw, and it just seems like you're having more of a natural conversation, or just like, oh, this person's level of Irish is better than just Talon, Oshina, Emma Scott, and like all this, like, which, you know, we all have been guilty of doing at a time. But I guess we could touch on as well, because StudyClicks actually got a new thing, and this is not just us plugging this for the sake of plugging it, but I kind of wish this was around when I was in secondary school, because I used StudyClicks loads. And but we've basically got a new Leaving Cert Irish Boost, which Aaron's been working away on, and it's a great new tool for kind of helping you bite-sized videos and information. Like, it's kind of like Grinds, but it's like a once-off payment. So it's really, really useful. Is there anything you could tell us about that and how kind of useful that could be?
Yeah. So Boost, I mean, we have it for other subjects like maths and biology as well, but for Irish, basically, it has everything that you'd need to kind of worry about on the course right there for you. So there's detailed videos and notes going through. There's a lot about the oral. There is loads and loads of grammar videos. There is for both courses. So for current 6 years, there's videos and notes going through all of the prose, poetry, and literature brecha questions. And then the same thing for current 5th years. So with the new course, we have loads of notes and information about everything that you'd be covering through over the next 2 years. And I mean, you know, this is a very new change to the course. So like, if it's difficult to find notes and things like that, like for those topics online. So I would really recommend, you know, if you do feel you are struggling with Irish, you want a bit of extra help. Like Andy said, it's basically like grinds. I mean, and yeah, like it's a once-off payment and you just have access to all of these things for the year. And yeah, it's so helpful. I mean, we've had so many experts contribute into this. It's all very, very useful information that can come in handy for like you know, any sort of question approach you'd want to take for like the different stories or whatever. Like, it will help you so much. And like, I think it's important to, like I was saying about the grammar videos, you know, grammar is such a huge chunk of everything that you do in the subject. If you have a good foundation with your grammar, that will carry over to like anything else that you may answer on in the subject. So if you do feel like you struggle with your grammar, these videos are so, so easy to follow. Like, they're very accessible. They are broken down so, so well. And we have also like flashcards after each video, like, so you can kind of test yourself with different things to see how you're getting on with your learning. But I would really, really recommend, if you do feel like you would like a little bit of extra help with your Irish and you don't, you know, as maybe an alternative to grinds, I would really strongly consider Irish Boost.
Hear. Yeah, no, it's a really useful thing. And as you say, it's for maths and biology there as well. So if you find that it's really helpful for Irish, have a look at it for those things as well.
And if you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking about buying Irish Boost, you can use the code podcast10 to get €10 off.
Well, there you go. So that's it. You've been just rewarded for
you
listening to us for 40 minutes or 35 minutes, however long this has been. I mean, wow. This actually be bigger. I think it's like, if you look at the end of this, it should be like a podcast 30 or something.
We're not even done.
People get like 30% off. I know, but if people get to the end of a podcast, imagine, because then like you're actually sitting with a real OG podcast listeners and they deserve a discount, or it's just like secretly put into words like, thank you so much for listening, podcast 50% off, and then we just end it and see if they actually picked up on it. So the listening, Aaron, the clue is Hishkind. One of my favorite parts of the exam, I listening to hear, oh, yine, again, and all this lovely Donegal Irish and all these people from different places. You come down to the shops with me. Where do you even start with this kind of thing? I mean, we used to do every week, I think, we've had a specific day, we'd do listenings.
Okay, lovely.
Yeah, we had a day where we had two Irish classes, and I think both of them we spent just listening to Lewis Hishkins, which was, they're painful and they take a while. So yeah, doing them at home is sometimes, like, it's hard to get yourself to sit down and like put your headphones in and listen to that. But I'm interested to see what you'd advise, like the best way to study for that. But for me, that's the only way, and the best way is just to listen to them and do them, especially at home when you're kind of really forced to kind of focus. Because in school, you I don't know, it's a different focus at home, and it's just like, and you can kind of take your time and you can pause something if you don't, and then you can actually break them down more and like listen to them again and again. And if there's certain things you just can't understand, or certain accents, dialects you don't really get. But yeah, and what are your kind of thoughts on the whole world of Lewis Hishkins?
Well, first of all, I think it's good to note that your listening is worth 10% of your overall grade. So it's 60 marks overall that you can get for the listening. It's the same listening for higher and ordinary level. So obviously the questions for higher are a little bit more challenging, but it's the same take that you're going to be listening to. And like, I mean, your listening comprehension is the most important thing anyway. So I think that's just all good to have in mind. Yeah, honestly, there's no other way around like studying for the listening than listening. So obviously, I know, shocker, but like, yeah, it's important to, you know, if you practice them in school, great. But like, yeah, definitely do some in your own time. You know, like, I think the more and more you practice them, you're going to get into a flow of like how you're supposed to answer them, you know. Like the same sort of questions repeat themselves all the time in the listenings. Like, so things like, I think it's a good idea to familiarize yourself with things like dates, phone numbers, place names, because these things are asked all the time. Like, it'll be like, oh, like, what's the phone number you can contact for this? And this is literally just like being aware of your numbers and stuff like that. Or like, what date does this have to be in by? Like, you know, there's the same sort of layout all the time for the listening. So like, there'd be things like announcements for like, I don't know, a job interview or a job opening, sorry, or like, and then there's just kind of like pieces of news. Like, if you practice them, you will notice it's the same sort of questions that come up time and time again. So that's a big part of it. So learn those phrases really well. And then I think as well, it's a good idea that when you're listening, when you're doing the listening papers or whatever the case may be, that you highlight the keywords in the question to keep you focused. So if it's saying like, how many, or like, you know, like, highlight the question words to keep your focus on that. You only hear the tape twice, so it's really important to kind of, you know, try listen out for the answer the first time and then like write something down and then just kind of be able to like go back and correct it, because like, you have to be really, really focused for the listening. So yeah, highlight whatever you can. Also, really important to make sure you give the correct amount of information and to give exactly what is being required of you. So as well as highlighting like the question words, highlight if they give you a sort of quantity. So they might be like, you know, give two traits that would be required for somebody who, you know, would be accepted to this job. So if you give like three things, you're not going to get marks for that, or you'll lose marks. So I think it's important to be aware of like little things like that. That's kind of the main things for the listening. I also think as well, like, you know, nothing you do for Irish is like, in a vacuum, I guess. Like, I mean, if you listen to things like podcasts in Irish, there's so many of them out there. Watch TG Cahir. Like, listen to anything in Irish. Like, all of these things will really, really build up your understanding as well. Like, if you can kind of broaden the sort of stuff you listen to. Like, I mean, like you were saying about like the Donegal Irish and things like that. Like, if you can listen to things like, if you can listen to different dialects and really train your ear to become accustomed to things like that, and like things to look out for, you know, there's certain kind of like little, I don't know, like inflections or little details that like somebody, you know, who has kind of Ulster Irish might pronounce differently to somebody who has Connacht Irish. And it's really like, you know, it's hard if you're only used to hearing one type of Irish, or like, you know, whatever sort of Irish that your teacher may have spoken to you. I mean, your teacher might have not, like, they mightn't have like a really strong dialect or whatever, so it might be hard if that's the only thing that you're used to hearing, to then have to adapt to pick up information from the listenings and everything. So it's, you really just kind of, the more independent sort of study that you can do in this case, like listening to literally as much as you can, that will really, really stand to you kind of above anything else you can do. So yeah, I would say just listening in general and then practicing the exams over and over again is kind of the most important thing that you can do when it comes to the listening.
Absolutely. So just as you said, listening is listening, and that's the best way to practice it, to just get surrounding yourself with Irish and talking to people and listening to TG Cahir and finding things online. But I guess we touched on Leif Hishkins briefly. We didn't really, we mentioned we'd talk with him, we didn't, in like a bite-sized, because we talked about the answers are like, it's an interesting one, because it's the same with English. Like, the answers are in the flipping thing that you're reading. So, it's like, it's again, it's like being able to understand the question, being able to find, linking that to the right part, and being able to do that. Do you have any, because I know that we were always told not to try and overcomplicate it and try and reword things in your own word. I think that's what we were told anyway. Just try and take it straight out, so there's no, like, you're not trying to set yourself up for failure by trying to reword it and then doing that wrongly. Is that what you kind of recommend?
Yeah, 100%. So the Leif Hishkinti, I think, are worth 50 marks each. So that's 100 marks overall. And, you know, like you said, you're literally just taking bits out of a paragraph and regurgitating them. That's all you have to do.
To understand.
So it's exactly, it's the understanding that trips people up. I mean, again, it's similar to the listening. Like, you have to just kind of be really aware of what you're looking out for. So highlighting is a big thing that can really help. I mean, it seems like such a stupid tip, but as in, like when you have this big block of text in front of you, you know, it's a really good idea to be able to suss out exactly what you're looking for and to just kind of have your eye, like, focused on. Like, a lot of the time, the words in the question like will be in the text as well. So mm-hmm. there's not a whole lot of paraphrasing. And even if there is, like, you'll have a good enough idea of what's been talked about. So definitely, like, highlight the answers. Like, I used to, when I would do the Leif Hyskens, I would literally just, I'd highlight the questions and then I'd find the answer in the text and just highlight that and then come back to it and write it all down at the end. Now, that was just me because, I don't know, that was what worked for me. But I find that that really helps focus in on things. Building up your general, like, vocabulary can really help, because again, they can be about, like, they tend to be about really topical things, so things mm-hmm. that are in the news or whatever, which you mightn't just know the Irish words for. So just kind of keep on top of your vocab and that'll really stand to you for the Leif Hyskens. The first, or well, yeah, like you were saying, they don't ask you to, like, you're not expected to rephrase things in the comprehensions. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, once you have the right, you know, what's being asked of you, literally just rewrite it out again in the question. The first five questions, that's all that you're asked to do. Then the question six is the one that scares a lot of people, of the comprehensions. Yeah. So part A, you're asked for, it's a grammar question, so you're asked to pick out certain grammar terms from the text and write them out. So they might say to you, like, find an example of the Tishel Genedoch in this mm-hmm. text, and then you have to go and pick out an example and write it down. There are certain ways to identify more complicated grammar terms like that. So, like, for the Tishel Genedoch, a lot of the time, if it's like feminine, it'll have na in between the two words rather than on. You know, but that's stuff that you'd kind of pick up on, like, with practice. Like, I'm not gonna, like, give a grammar lesson here in the podcast. It all comes down to, like, practicing your grammar, because it carries over to so many different parts of the text. But I think it's also worth noting that, like, you get 3 marks for this question. So it's marked 2 and 1. So even if you only answer one, like, you're asked for 2 grammar terms, but even if you only put 1 down, like, you can still get 2 marks. So, like, or if you only get 1 right. So put something down. Don't leave them blank. If you don't know, guess, because there's a chance that you could mm-hmm. be right. Then the second part of question six, part B, is another one that people are really scared by. So this question is worth 12 marks overall. And you literally, most of the time, it will just ask you, like, oh, like, I don't know, like, it'll usually ask you for, like, 2 reasons for something, or 2, like, I know there's been questions before where it's been like, oh, like, talk about, like, 2 traits that you think this person displays and why. So you can literally, uh-huh. in the American scheme, how it is just, it's like first point, expansion, and that's all you need. Like, if you literally can just write down, like, I don't know, if you think someone is, like, funny, you just write down Captain Goel and Dinisha Granware Mar, and then, like, expand on it for a few lines. That's your basis of your marks. Like, it's not overly complicated, and you can literally write anything down once you have something to back it up. Like, they're not going to be like, I disagree with that. Like, no. So don't be put off by it. And then there's other things. I mean, like, there's so many different things that can be asked for that question, but, like, you know, it's a lot to do with your opinion. And if you have some sort of answer for it, like, they can fault you. And the marking scheme is very kind of basic and very broad. So yeah, like, that's, I think it's 12 marks each question. So mm-hmm. that's 24 marks in total that you can gain just from answering it. I know so many people are guilty of leaving a blank. I know it's kind of scary, but just give it a go. Like, don't leave that part of it blank, because that's such a big chunk of the marks.
Pretty sure I remember answering that question almost terribly every time we did mock papers and stuff. So I completely feel everybody's pain if they're nervous about that. But yeah, I think we've covered a lot of things there, almost everything. Basically, understand, guys, what the exam breakdown is, and learn mm-hmm. that, study that. And that's a great way to get ahead and to structure your study and your learning for the year ahead. Like, you've got a lot of time, you know, a lot of time to do a lot of really good work. And I know Erin said her level of Irish before she kind of went into fifth and sixth year wasn't what she thought was particularly high, but you were able to, like, get it to a really high standard in that time. So a lot of learning can be done.
So if you're, like, in fifth year now and you're not feeling particularly confident, like, things can change if you, mm-hmm. you know, like, don't have in your head like, oh, I'm really bad at Irish, so I can just never get better, or like I can I'm gonna do bad in the exam and that's that. Like, don't limit yourself, don't
restrict it, kind of,
hold
yourself back.
Because I mean, like I said, there's so many things here that like they all overlap, like everything in the subject, really, it does overlap. Once you have like a good foundation with like keywords, grammar, like it's just, it's practice. It's like anything. And I mean, languages are all about, like the oral is such a big part for a reason, because the spoken element of a language can help with every part of it. And it's such, it's just practice. It's just becoming more comfortable with it. So yeah, like you have so much time to improve,
and it's possible, it's doable.
Yeah,
it's finding a passion in it and the part of it you love, and that is kind of will make you want to work harder at it. I know you said that was something for you that really helped you.
100% But I think, yeah, when it comes to the exam, like it's such a big help to know exactly, you know, what you need to focus more of your time on, like how things are broken down, because it can seem super daunting. I mean, there's so many parts of the Irish exam, like more than like most other subjects. Like there's so many different things you have to do, and you have to, you know, study and get comfortable with. But if you really break it down and kind of look at what weight marks are allocated and things like that, like it does become a lot easier to tackle.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's kind of everything we wanted to touch on in this episode. We thank you all so much for listening. As Erin mentioned beautifully earlier, podcast 10.
Podcast 10. Really do consider giving Irish Boost a go if you feel like you need help with your Irish, because it has, honestly, like everything that you'd need on there. And it's such a great and really helpful resource, especially for people who are in fifth year now, who are looking for help with, you know, their study texts and everything. Like it has everything you could possibly need. Absolutely. So.
Mm-hmm. A great place to start if you come down today and you're kind of going, okay, I've kind of been inspired by this, or I kind of feel like I know what I need to do, but I'm still kind of a bit overwhelmed as where to start. Maybe that could be a good thing to looking into to help you get into that.
Yeah. And 100%.
That could really help you kick off with it. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you so much, guys, for listening. And podcast 10, get it going. And if you enjoyed this, please recommend it to a friend and come back and listen to other episodes. And we've got a lot more fun ones coming up in the future. So thank you and goodbye.
Bye. Slán.